all into the ventilation thing, because I really, a lot of us probably don't even understand ventilation and ventilators and all that, and you literally wrote the book on it. We, a lot of us, you know, didn't even know much about it until the past few weeks that we've heard so much about it. Your general assessment overall of the situation in Bexar County and then nationally too, what do you think?
Well, we're very fortunate right now in Bexar County. We haven't had the rapid surge that folks like in New York and New Orleans have experienced. You read the numbers just a few minutes ago. So far, about 85 people in hospitals and only about 42 requiring mechanical ventilation. So we're in good shape right now. Now, we've spent weeks getting ready for this thing, and they have sort of tiered the response. We've got faculty prepared to step into roles that they have not normally taken. University Hospital has done an enormous amount of work, and of course, the health department and STRAC have been wonderful as far as preparing for this thing. So far, we're in good shape. The real issue is, do we have a surge of critically ill patients showing up in hospitals that overwhelms the hospital system? And so far, we're doing well, and hopefully, if folks will continue to follow the guidance and stay home do all the other good things that have been suggested, like washing your hands and just simple stuff, we're not going to have the volume of surge that we could, like overwhelmed in New York.
Let's talk a little bit about mechanical ventilation. I was reading a piece yesterday, and you obviously wrote the book on it called Mechanical Ventilation, a Textbook for Training. I was reading a piece yesterday that said some of the folks that are on mechanical ventilation, it's actually bad for them because it's forcing oxygen into their lungs when, in fact, that's not what they need at that moment. Can you help us better understand a ventilator and what a ventilator does and whether, you know, it's true that it could be bad for people, or is it all good all the time, 100% of the time?
Okay, well, I think it's important for folks to understand that ventilators are life-saving devices. And in and of themselves, a ventilator is not something to be afraid of. The problem is this COVID-19, when it really gets raging in the lungs, is a really tough pulmonary disease. It's a very difficult disease to manage. Most patients don't get this sick. As you know, only about 5% of the people who are infected wind up with this severe or critical respiratory problem where they can't breathe and require ventilatory support. 80% of the folks who are getting infected have very mild to moderate disease. They can be managed at home. They do just fine. But it's that 5% that we're really worried about. Now, the modern critical care ventilators are very complicated. The average physician or nurse doesn't receive any training on how to set up one of these things. A typical critical care ventilator can have 15 or 20 different modes of ventilation, the folks who set it up need to understand, you know, all of the different permutations of how you do that properly, and then how you monitor what you've done properly, and so forth. And then the COVID disease, when it gets really bad, it evolves into what's called acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS. And ARDS is one of the most complex ventilation problems that you see in the intensive care unit. And not only does COVID evolve into ARDS, it evolves into what some people have called an atypical ARDS, which means it's not like the types of ARDS that we see more commonly, in that the COVID causes essentially an acute viral pneumonia, and initially you get inflammation, which is called interstitial inflammation between the cells, and then it devolves into the ARDS.
So let me ask you about this, because I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to get to a couple of other questions before I run out of time with you. Let me ask you this: when we're talking about intubation and going on to a ventilator, We have been told a couple of things. First of all 22 in Bear County had underlying other health conditions. Now, that hasn't been 100% of the case across America, but officials here say it's been 100% of the case. They've all had underlying health conditions. But we're classifying all of them as COVID. The first question is that the right classification? Do we classify everything COVID, although they had the other health conditions? And are we tracking to know what actually, you know, caused their death? Was it the heart disease, the lung disease, or whatever? And number two, is it just for people who may have a loved one who is facing this, is that an automatic death sentence? I mean, people do come off of these things, right?
Oh, absolutely, they do. And that's the point I was trying to get at. If you've got pretty good health underlying and the ventilator is managed properly, you should do okay. But it's complicated how to manage it.
Got it.
We took the first patient at University Hospital who went on the ventilator, I believe, came off yesterday. So it's definitely
great.
A death sentence. The issue becomes, if somebody is got a terminal disease, do they want to go through the process of going through being put on a ventilator? And that's why you need advanced directives. And folks are trying to get advanced directives to determine what the patient and family want to do.
I have one of those, and it is a very important thing to have so that the doctor can know exactly what your wishes are. And, doctor, I you're just incredibly interesting. I'd love to rebook you and have you come back a couple more times. We have short segments here in the morning, but I'd love to have you come back and let's talk some more. Are you open to that?
Absolutely, I am, and I appreciate you having me this morning.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Appreciate it. And Elaine, we'll get in touch with you and we'll get you set up. That is Dr. David Shelady from over at UT Health San Antonio. All right, when we come back, somebody who says, you know, I question these numbers, and with good reason. And we'll speak with him coming right up on 550 KTSA and FM 107.1. Let me tell you about the AccuWeather forecast. Friday, April 10th, cloudy and cooler today with a high only about 72. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and about 78. Easter Sunday, clear and sunny with a high of 80. And then on Monday, sunny and cool and 60.